Before I get to our second scripture lesson, I just, one thing I neglected to say, when I pointed out that the flowers were given to the chair on behalf of the Cherries and thankful for the birth of the new child and the birthdays that were celebrated, Dawn and the family can't be here today because they are quarantining for 3 days so they can go see the baby. So that, if you wonder why that pew's empty, that's where they are today. Quarantine so they can get to see little Ellis. Our scripture lesson, the temptation of Christ from Luke chapter 4. Let us hear and attend God's word. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all of their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I give them to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. As I said earlier, we had a great beginning to our Lenten season last Wednesday with the Lenten Luncheon series. And Jack Stewart brought the lesson, and it was very powerful. Jack was not one who followed Lenten disciplines. A lot of churches, including the church I grew up in, they do not follow the Lenten part of the church calendar. So Jack wasn't sure what the Lent was all about. He wanted to do the first Wednesday in Lent, but he called his son, who was a United Methodist, and they asked him, you know, what is Lent all about? And, you know, his son explained how it is patterned after the temptation of Christ, and that usually people get rid of or deal with our own temptations somehow by giving up something or devoting something to the Lord. So Jack entitled his lesson, "What Will You Crucify?" during these Lenten season. That really touched me. It touched a place in my heart. I hadn't thought about what am I going to crucify during Lent. I always think about how I'm going to observe and follow what Jesus did. But Jesus crucified some things right there in the presence of Satan using the power of the scripture. First, he offered him, you know, here, use your power to turn this stone into bread. In other words, exercise your special abilities as the Son of God. Right here and now, you can turn that stone into bread. And Jesus didn't answer under his own power. He answered under the power of Scripture, didn't he? And for the other two of the temptations, Jesus didn't answer in his own power. He relied upon the power of the Word of God, which, by the way, in other places in Scripture is referred to as the sword of the Spirit. that the Word of God is that which can cut down all of the designs and the schemes that Satan has for tripping us up and making us fall. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. But we are self-reliant people, aren't we? We like to get it done ourselves. There's a certain independence. I'm that way. I was raised that way. Herbert Jackson was that way as well. He was a missionary. And Herbert Jackson moved his family into a foreign mission field. And while he was there, he was assigned a car. And he was confounded at first. He said that he was given a car that would not start unless you pushed it. And Herbert tried to figure out what to do with this car because part of his job as a missionary was to travel. He made a plan. He went to a little school nearby, and he got permission from the teacher to take some of the children out of the class, and he had those children push off his car and so he could start it and he could make his rounds as a pastor. After that, he would either park it on a hill or leave the engine running wherever he went. Now, he became very ingenious in how to get this car started and how to keep it going while he was making his rounds. For 2 full years, he did these things with keeping this car going. However, after the 2 years, Herbert Jackson's family experienced illness and they had to leave the mission field. And a new missionary came to take his place. And when Jackson proudly began to explain his arrangement for getting the car started, the new man began looking under the hood. And before Jackson was even able to complete his explanation, the new missionary interrupted and said, "Oh, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, tightened it up, stepped into the car, pushed on the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For 2 years, he needlessly troubled himself over this car that would not start. The power was there all the time. It was only a loose connection that kept Jackson from putting that power to work. Jackson learned to use this story and apply it to the very powerful biblical principles that we're talking about here. Many Christians have the same relationship with Jesus Christ that Jackson had with that car. They had no idea what kind of power was available if they could just find a way to connect to it. And many people, us do-it-yourselfers, contrive ingenious ways to conduct our lives without having the power that Christ intended for us to have. Now, what power are we talking about? Well, we just read about it and we've been discussing it. The sword of the Spirit is the power of Almighty God given to us in the Scriptures. Now, let's back up and talk a little bit about Lent. The Lenten season is based upon the 40 days of Jesus' time of temptation and trial. Now, if you are astute, you have already figured out that there are actually 46 days, right? Between now and the Easter event. Why don't we count the Sundays in Lent? What sense does it make to have 40 days that are interrupted every 7 days? It's because this day, Sunday, is the day of resurrection. Always the day of resurrection. Every week that we meet on the day of the resurrection. And that is not to be a day when you sorrow or when you're sad. It is the day when you celebrate the victory of Christ So we're in that part. We can be sad for 6 days, but on the seventh day, we celebrate. Now, after fasting for 40 days, Jesus was confronted by the adversary. I like to call him the adversary. Devil, to me, has some comical overtones. I see in my mind the Looney Tunes version, and I'd rather call him the adversary, the one who is our enemy. He is a fallen angel who's taken upon himself the role of opposing God's purposes in the world. He uses all of his tricks, all of his lies, to try to get God's people to follow a different path, a destructive path that leads to death. It's important to remember that the adversary is not God's equal in any way. That the adversary was originally a created being, a being created by God who perverted his way into what we call evil. His power is based on his ability to twist the truth and to tell lies. That power is illustrated in the story of the fall. He caught Eve alone. And by clever lies and half-truths, he convinced her that she could eat the forbidden fruit without consequences. And by extension, he led Adam to eat as well and disobey God. The adversary is always at work trying to destroy God's best intentions, trying to pervert the good of the world to evil. This adversary has confronted Jesus at a time when Jesus would be vulnerable. He hadn't eaten. And remember, he is truly human, fully human. And we know that deprivation of any kind can make us susceptible to persuasions, to the lies. Sure, you can eat. Go ahead. Turn the stones into bread. God won't mind. And take note of this, that the adversary always attacks, always brings temptation when the situation is skewed in his favor. And how can that be? Think of the story of Elijah in the Old Testament. Now, I've seen it happen, and it's happened to me as well. But I like to use Elijah as the illustration. Remember, he defeated the prophets of Baal. He was the most successful prophet. He had called down fire from heaven. He was a victor. Yet, because there was a price on his head by the queen, he suddenly turns into a complete wimp. He goes and hides in the desert into a cave. The situation was skewed in favor of the adversary. The adversary wanted to keep him in that cave as long as possible, making him feel he has no power, he had no strength, that he was going to die, that the queen was going to kill him. Until God came along and said, "Hey, Elijah, get up. You've got work to do." And God sent an angel to sustain him. Temptation, the adversary always comes when we're most susceptible. And sometimes that's when we have our greatest successes. When you're sticking out your chest and saying, "I did it, and by golly, I did it well," etc., etc. So it's not surprising that the adversary begins Jesus' trial with a temptation of food. And take note of the kind of taunt that he uses. He said, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Another kind of jab at Jesus. If you are the Son of God. And Jesus' response to the adversary is telling. As a son of God, he not only had the power to turn stones into bread, he also had it within his power to crush and destroy the adversary, the devil, right in front of him. He could blot him out of existence. Yet Jesus chose to rely upon the power of God's word. Jesus says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." Of course, the adversary followed that temptation with two more temptations designed to deter Jesus from his mission, the mission that God had entrusted to him. You think that's not still happening? You come to church, you are asked to serve in a certain capacity to help get the word of God celebrated here in this place. And don't think that the adversary will not come after you and try to turn you away from what God is asking you to do. I hear it from Christians all the time. I never had such a hard time in my life as I have after I became a Christian, right? Or after I take on a particular job for God. The adversary is right there. He's going to try to trip you up. And of course, note that in that final temptation, the adversary even used Scripture to tempt Jesus. Psalm 91 that we just read earlier, that God will not allow him to even bruise his foot. In each case, of course, Jesus answered the temptation with a quotation from the Word of God. And Jesus overcame temptation by the power of that word. He derived his power from the intimate and obedient relationship he had with God the Father. Take note, okay, we want to find out where is Jesus' power? Where can we tap into the power of God? Right there. He derived his power from an obedient and intimate relationship with God the Father. Sunday school has been studying Daniel. This morning we were just talking about, Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was praying to God three times a day, morning, noon, and night. That was his routine. And he prayed that God, he knew that they were going to be coming for him. He prayed that God would help him in this situation. And so he's thrown into the lion's den. He kept his prayer vigil up. And of course, that's where they caught him. Was in the middle of praying one of those three times per day that he was fully faithful in doing, keeping that intimate and obedient relationship going. And what happened in the lion's den? Remember? The Spirit of God closed the mouths of the lion, and they wandered around all night long and didn't touch a hair on his head. Intimate and obedient relationship with God the Father, all through the Old Testament, is the place where you get power to for your life. Jesus humbled himself before God the Father. He didn't indulge himself in the privileges and status that were his as the Son of God. He could, as I said, have crushed Satan, the devil, right then and there. But he didn't want to do in and of his own power. He did it in the power of the Word of God. Take note that later in his ministry, Jesus healed the sick, gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. He raised people from death. He exhibited this great and wonderful power that we're talking about here in acts of compassion. He ministered to everyone he met, regardless of who they were or where they were from. I often make this point, He didn't have a form that you fill out and qualify. You just need to say, "Jesus, please, I need to receive my sight." Or, "Jesus, please, my daughter is sick." His power was always used to demonstrate the love of God and invite faith and relationship. He never, ever used his power in a coercive way or a trading way. I'll do this if you do that. No. He brought a blessing when he worked a miracle. And he asked only that you receive the invitation to faith and relationship. Now, one of the blessings of the season of Lent is that we find ourselves studying the power of God as Jesus used it to bring forgiveness and salvation to the world. We as a church, of course, need that power. We as individuals need that power to help us to spread the good news of the gospel, to demonstrate to others how the power of Jesus Christ is shown through his church. Yet so often we're like Herbert Jackson, aren't we? Go back to that story that I began with. We choose to push the car, park on a hill, or contrive other ways to conduct our lives rather than just plug in to the power of God. Rather than to cultivate that intimate and obedient relationship with God the Father, we want to do it ourselves. But we don't have the right kind of power sometimes. How many things did this missionary Jackson miss because he was fooling around with this automobile? How many hours were lost that could have been used in mission because he was stubbornly wanted to rely upon his own power? If you want that kind of power, the power of Jesus in your life, all you need to do is ask to initiate that intimate and obedient relationship with God the Father. That's one of the genius things about Lent, is that's what we're doing if we observe this Lenten process that we're in. Jesus used his power to bring blessings rather than curses. He gave himself, of course, as a sacrifice for sinners, and by the sheer power of love, he defeated sin and death for everybody. Just to sum up, remember, Jesus' power is derivative. It's rooted in the intimacy and submission to God Almighty. Jesus' power is humble. He rejected the privilege and status of his position as Son of God. And his power was compassionate, serving the good of all, not just the good of faith communities. And Jesus' power was non-coercive. He would bring blessings rather than curses. May he empower us during this Lenten season to tap into that kind of power, the power that he demonstrates. To him be the glory. Amen. If you will stand with me. Oh, well, first of all, let me have a prayer. I get ahead of myself sometimes. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this demonstration. We often wonder, where can I get the power to be a better Christian, to do a better job in your world? You have demonstrated it very clearly through Jesus Christ. It is derivative of an intimate relationship with you. Help us to maintain that kind of a relationship and to be the Lord Jesus Christ to our neighbors and friends. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.